Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with our journey of life, or look at the journey of life. We've been looking briefly at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we can somehow benchmark ourselves against a measure that Allah has given us. As I mentioned before, let's divide his life into three. We have the first stage, birth to Ba'that, which is 40 years. Then we have Ba'that to Hijrah, which is 13 years. And then we have Hijrah to Wafat, which is another 10 years. So if we have those in our mind, it's easy to be able to see the stages of his life. We've looked very briefly at the first 40 years. Let's now look at the next stage, which is Ba'that to Hijrah. And Ba'that actually means when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first revelations of the Quran, which is the first five ayat of Surah Al-Alaq. First, let's just look at a brief timeline. So we have him at the age of 40 receiving the revelations in the cave of Hira in Jabal al-Nur. At 43, he goes public. At 46, he and his followers are confined to Shibi Abi Talib, the valley of Abi Talib. In other words, they're exiled over there because the Quraysh cannot bear the strength of this message. When he's 49, he calls the year Amul Huzn, the year of grief, when he loses both his uncle Abu Talib and Sayyida Khadija, his wife. At 52, he goes for Mi'raj, which is the journey to the heavens mentioned in Surah Bani Israel. The first ayah of Bani Israel mentions this journey. And we have at 53 the Hijrah, when he migrates, or the emigration to Medina from Mecca. So let's look at this period of life, the Ba'that to Hijrah. Receiving these revelations, and as directed by Allah, one day he asks them, "If I were to tell you that there was an army behind the mountain range of Abu Qubays, would you believe me?" And they said, "Why should we not believe you?" And he said, "Why? Why would you believe in my saying only?" And you know what they told him? They said, "We have never heard anything but the truth from you." See, to them, he is As-Sadiq, he is the truthful one. He's Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. Then he says that he is the messenger of the one who cannot be seen. And everything changes with those words. They cannot comprehend them. They throw stones at him. They put thorns in his path. And suddenly there is media manipulation. They call him a poet. They call him a madman. They call him a magician. Look what happens to the very man that they recognized amongst them as the most trustworthy, the most truthful one. They'd never seen a lie from his mouth. They change completely. You know what Rasulullah does? He responds by saying, "If you have a pearl in your hands and people call it a nut, a peanut, it's not going to cease to be a pearl. It will remain a pearl." Allah in the Quran calls him Rahmatul Lil Alameen, a mercy to the worlds. His whole life was based on compassion. Every answer he gave, every move he made, everything was based on compassion. And the whole mission in Mecca in those 13 years revolved around Tawheed and the Akhirah. If you look at all the surah that are revealed in Mecca, you'll see the Quran divided into Makkan surah and Madani surah. You will find Makkan surah concentrate totally or entirely on Tawheed and the Akhirah. There are bits and pieces that are in between. But in the underlying messages, one God. The other messages, you are accountable for everything you do. And that is what the Akhirah is all about. Now the Quraysh could include another God amongst their many gods. And therefore they suggested that that the Muslims would worship their gods one year and Allah would be worshipped in the other. And you know the beautiful answer that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of Surah Al-Kafirun, where Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, say, O those who cover up the truth, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ. And the phrases were repeated. You cannot worship what we worship. We will never worship what you worship, in the amount of times the proposal was put to them. But the last ayah, لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ, to you your religion, to us our religion. So awesome. So awesome. No compromise when it comes to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the concept of the Akhirah. Absolutely awesome. See, the Quraysh could comprehend Allah, a God. They could comprehend the belief in a powerful one. That was easy for them. What they could not comprehend was the Akhirah. When the Akhirah actually means accountability and the concept that one would be raised after one had died. You've got to understand how that works. You know, the most powerful of them, known as Abul Hikmah, he was very, very powerful. The Prophet names him Abu Jahl. He denied the Akhirah. He could not comprehend it. And we have a whole surah about him. Tabbat yada bi lahabin wa tab. Perdition, in other words, loss to his hands, to whatever he does in the world because of this concept of not understanding it. You know, Umayyah ibn Han Hunayf, a man, he saw an informal gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting with all the youth. And he was worried because he saw that the class was just increasing. This gathering around Muhammad was just increasing. So he goes to the graveyard, brings a decayed bone from the graveyard and crushes it in front of this class. And he says what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, his words are mentioned in Surah Yasin, Ayah 78. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا قَالُ مَنْ يُحْيَ الْإِذَامَ وَحِيَ رَمِيمٌ. He strikes out likeness for us, Allah says. He forgets his own creation. And he says, who will give life to the bones when they are rotten? Look at the answer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. قُلْ يُهْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. Say, O Muhammad, tell him, he will give life to them. That means Allah will give life to them, the one who brought them into existence at first. And he is aware of all creation. Now when they realize that this is not working, an emergency meeting is held and the resolution is passed to do a mubahila. That means they ask the Prophet ﷺ to come somewhere where they will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send a stone from the sky. And they say, if that happens, we will believe in you, O Muhammad. We find that in Surah Al-Anfal, Ayah 32. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and replies to this. First, let's look at the ayah which calls for this mubahila. وَإِذْ قَالُوا, this is ayah number 32. And when they said, Allahumma, O Allah, إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقِّ, if this is the truth from you, مِنْ عِنْدِكَ, فَعَمْتِرْ عَلَيْنَا هِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, rain down upon us stones from the heavens. أَوِعْتِنَا بِأَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, or inflict on us a painful punishment. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And I absolutely love this. Ayah 33. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah cannot send down rain from the skies. He will not punish them. Why? وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ, because, O Muhammad, you are amongst them. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah is not going to punish them while yet they ask for forgiveness. So there's a group still asking for forgiveness. Allah says, Muhammad, you are rahmatul alameen. Whilst you are amongst them, I will not send down a punishment on them. Absolutely awesome. Keep Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts and no punishment will ever touch that heart. So when they found there was no way out of this, so the Quraysh now hold another meeting where they decide that they will have to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so that responsibility is not put on any one tribe. They decided that one member of each tribe was to go to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the middle of the night and kill him. Well, we know what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Jibreel. And he leaves on that night for Medina, leaving Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam asleep in his bed. And when the youth from each family come in to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they lift the blanket, they see Ali and they are taken back. So this literally ends that period of time in Makkah. Very briefly we've looked at it, and inshallah we will now continue to see the Hijra to Wafat, which means the time